T-minus 86. United Nations Headquarters, Manhattan, New York. After a long day in New York, the last 4 hours of which had been spent enduring briefings and pleas from the cautious delegates Dan was about to break away from, but was administratively bound to listen to, the time had finally come for his headline address. Dan stood at a podium before the assembled national delegates with Terra Ford by his side and a speech written with Emma Ford's assistance in his hand. A second speech remained in his pocket, for, like a politician on election night, he had engaged Emma's help to prepare one for each eventuality. And while Dan had always firmly expected to read the breakaway speech rather than the unity speech, his frustration with the lack of cooperative progress and diminishment of his character in the public's eyes had been palpable even before the close call with the green staining. He and Emma were always on the same page when it came to preparing for the unexpected. Alas, the only unexpected development had pushed him even more decisively towards a breakaway, and thoughts of what might be discovered on New Kerguelen enabled him to remain calm during a very trying afternoon. The political fallout from what he was about to announce would be enormous, but the cost of doing nothing was simply unacceptable. On Dan's other side stood Leisha, the familiar and currently expressionless envoy from New Kerguelen, while William Godfrey had opted to sit in the front row to make the moment appear as apolitical as possible. Dan still didn't quite trust William Godfrey, only a fool ever would, as Emma endlessly reminded him, but the former Global Contact Commission's chairman had been conducting himself in a fairly responsible manner in public ever since Unica's creation. Emma believed this was merely because Godfrey had been utterly humbled on arrival day when a threatening alien squadron had rendered his GCC powerless and spread fear until the more rational messengers decisively cemented Dan's position as their only point of contact and dealt with their belligerent planet mates thanks to his and Terra's intervention. This selfless act was but one link in the remarkable chain of events that had led to this moment, where an unelected man could stand before 200 delegates and not one would dare question his legitimacy. His decision-making and closeness to the likes of Godfrey were often questioned for sure, but Dan himself had forever displayed a level of integrity and selflessness that made him beyond reproach from any reasonable observer. "I'll be brief," Dan said, these opening words immediately silencing the few murmurs that had previously filled the air. The breadth of new perspective he had gained in recent years, from the lows of the hoax and Il Diavolo to the highs of his successful trip to New Kerguelen and the birth of his daughter, enabled moments like this to feel small in the grander scheme of things. A barista in Birchwood, Colorado, just a few years earlier, Dan could never have imagined any of this back then. But the Dan McCarthy of today was a new man. No longer even the reluctant hero as whom he had been cast when the aliens first publicly revealed themselves in Birchwood, but rather a public figure and a father who was now proud, without ego, to bear the load that had been placed on his shoulders. "In the coming hours, there will be plenty of statements from national leaders and plenty of discussion from everyone else, and I've stated my personal frustrations about our lack of progress plenty of times already," Dan said. "Those frustrations shared by our friends from New Kerguelen are why I stand before you today to reluctantly announce my resignation from my post. Despite my long-standing frustrations, it has been an honor to fulfill my duties in these historic surroundings. My final duty as Unica's chief planetary liaison is to announce that the messengers will no longer engage with this agency, nor recognize its position as humanity's primary point of diplomatic relations with their race." A dozen or so delegates rose to their feet in disgust and moved noisily towards the exit. Accented calls of "stitch up" and "you should be ashamed of yourself" came at Dan from several angles, but he took them in his stride. "This day has been a long time coming," he continued, unmoved. "In early discussions, more than 150 nations have already indicated their willingness to participate in a new agency, one which won't be bound by a consensus-based voting structure and will be able to facilitate true interplanetary cooperation free from the politically motivated vetoes that have held us back for too long. To be blunt, as I always am, We are essentially moving our operations from one building to another and changing little beyond the voting structure. For that reason, our new international agency will simply relinquish the UN prefix and be known as the Interspace Contact Agency. I will retain my title as CPL in our new Buenos Aires-based headquarters, while Valerie Slater and Ding Ziyang will retain theirs as Deputy Planetary Liaisons. Tara Ford will remain Assistant Planetary Liaison, and William Godfrey will become Chairman of our Executive Committee. There is value in continuity, and the messengers recognize that as much as I do. I want to stress with all the power in my voice that every nation is free to join us in Buenos Aires, and that this administrative change has only proven necessary to ensure that no obstructive nation will any longer be able to block our civilizational progress as a species. Thank you for your attention, Dan said, nodding to the crowd before shaking Tara's and then Leisha's hand as rehearsed. And here's to a harmonious future filled with breakthroughs beyond our wildest dreams.